speaker is Day and H from Oceanside. So I hope I pronounced it right.
I did. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. I sat down and this room is not filled up. It's filled, Earl. It's completely filled. I'm Dayan and I am an alcoholic. I should qualify. My sobriety date is June 24th, 2003. I have 15 years of sobriety. I am extremely grateful to be here tonight. My husband is your main speaker, and I have never, to be here, one of 10 meetings that our group, our ASL interpreter, I've never been signed before, so this is very exciting. And I've been called and done a lot of things in my life, but I've never been signed. And this is very exciting, and I'm so happy that you're all here. And to all of our newcomers, welcome. Please stay. That's all I'm going to say. Please stay. You don't have to keep going in and out. That door is not a revolving door. It gets real heavy. Real heavy. I have enough friends in this program, people that are no longer with us, because the doors got real heavy. And they just, you know, thought they'd put a gun in their mouth instead of them trying to get back in. So, it's real. And so 10-minute speaker. Okay, let's do this. Both my parents drank. I came from a very crazy, insane, alcoholic family. I'm Irish. And all that entails. And I found out in the last 15 years more about my family. We've had family reunions, and I have found out about a lot of my Irish relatives and, on the other side, Russian, Jewish, German relatives, and they like their beverages as well. So it's in the family. Like I said, both my parents drank, and you know, if you grew up with my parents, you drink too, you know, that kind of thing. I remember in kindergarten or sixth grade walking home and smelling markers and feeling that high from all these big, chunky, old, they weren't Sharpies back then. They were like these big markers. And I would walk home by myself, and it was like a secret, and I never told anybody. In fact, that memory came up recently, and I'm doing my step work again, and that memory has come up quite a bit. And so then, you know, on through school and on through high school and such, I started drinking. And, you know, when my parents were, when we moved here from New York, I swore I was, the only thing my dad put together was the bar. It, you know, he never unpacked any of the suitcases. We came well after he did. And we were all excited to come into our new house, and there were just boxes and his bar. And I never was going to drink and make all the kids, because I was in charge of the kids upstairs in the bedroom where all the boxes were and no toys or anything. And there are all these kids, and I was 8, and I'm in charge of all of them. And I swear I was never going to drink that stuff that they were drinking downstairs and because that will make me do terrible things to all the kids. So I just knew I wasn't going to do that. And, you know, high school came around, and I wanted to fit in and be a part of, and of course, I drank, and I smoked some stuff. Singleness of purpose, I know. I'll stay on track, but I did a lot of other stuff. And, you know, all through my 20s and in my 30s and well into my 40s, I was the party girl. I was the, you know, it was like kind of started like, you're having a party? Oh, make sure you invite Dayan. Oh, you're having a party? Who's coming? Oh, she's coming. Okay. Oh, are you having a party? Oh, I'd love to come, but if Diana's there, then... Oh, you're having a party? I'm not coming if she's there. And then it got to the point where my best friend would have a party, and I'd say, when? What time? What do you want me to bring? And she's like, yeah, you're not invited. You know, otherwise there'd be nobody here. And I... You know, that's how it kind of, and then into my 40s, I got sober when I was 45. And like I said, about I'm kind of skipping around, but my both my parents, when they got sober, my mom was 45 also, and she now has over 30 years of sobriety. My dad, my father, and Lori R. asked me to talk about my father because she actually has heard heard him speak way in the beginning of her sobriety. My dad got sober at 62. He was a DEA officer, and he was a drunk. And he was a badass DEA officer. And stuff that we were told by the DEA officers that came to his 80th birthday and his memorial service shocked my brother and I. And we thought we had heard every story, but we were told some things that were just amazing. You know, he was the guy, like you see in the movies, that slid across the bar with a gun and went right into the guy's mouth. Yeah, that was my dad. So he got sober at 62, and he passed away of kidney disease at 86, sober. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, at a, you go to an AA memorial when someone passes away with some time, and you hear stories. And the stories about my dad were about his involvement in H&I. And how, you know, he had a Porsche and how people would, you know, hang on for dear life because of his, you know, driving them to the different H&I facilities. And he told me that to, and then, you know, when I got sober and I went to him, I got a DUI, you guys, and with by the help of God and the Glendale Police Department, I got into the rooms. I knew my problem was, I knew I had a problem. I knew I was down that dark tunnel. I knew that the answers were in these rooms because of my parents and my aunt, who's my mom's sister, has 30 years now. My brother has almost 30 years. And I knew the answers were in here. I just didn't know how I was going to get in. And I knew I was, you know, down that dark tunnel. Oh, by the way, at that time, I was a liquor sales rep, an award-winning liquor sales rep. I was quite good at what, at my craft and at what I was selling. Very knowledgeable. And so you know, I got a DUI, and the trunk of my car was filled with samples, you know, because I not only had a trunk of samples, I would bargain with those goodies. You know, at Christmas time, I would sell, you know, give a couple of bottles of booze and wine to the guy at the tree lot, and he'd give me about four trees, and I'd distribute them, and, you know, I was really good. And so, yeah, it was, it, you know, I had a trunk full of samples when I got pulled over. And for some reason, I had called my ex-husband. What? We were, when we're wet-brained, we are so, I called my ex-husband. And he came and got my car, and the cop let him have my car and all the samples in the trunk. And I was right there on a, went to my dive bar down the street. Instead of parking in the back, I parked in the front because don't you know who I think I am? And that I have a case of to this day. And it has all been pointed out to me because of the step work that, the traditions, the step work and all the principles behind the steps. And, you know, today I'm trying to get this fast because I don't want that sign to come up because it really freaks me out. But today I am sober, like I said, 15 years. I got out of jail that day. I called up AA. I knew the answers were in these rooms. I just didn't know how I was going to get in there. And I got the pass by getting the DUI. I got my pass. You know, you go by Pat. What's that game, Monopoly or something? You go by... You get to go with the whatever. And that was me. And I remember I went to the car wash right after I got out of jail. And I remember my mom saying that my car was an addict's car. You know, that because it was a mess and it was just, you know. And I went to the car wash and I just wanted my car to be clean. And I sat there in the car wash looking at everybody and thinking, oh my God, they all know I just spent the night in jail. But I was like, I don't care. I'm really happy. And I was happy when I got out of, when I woke up out of that brownout in jail, I was relieved. I had surrendered. I was really excited to be able to come into these rooms. I got myself to a meeting. I called AA. The woman who answered got me to a meeting and at the Alano Club, the Windsor Club in Glendale, California. And I went to a women's meeting, and I got a sponsor at that meeting. And I dove in. I dove into this. I wanted what you all had. And, I dove in. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. I started having dreams of other substances. So my sponsor said, you know, there's this other program. And so I said, that's funny. There's this guy that seems to hang out wherever I am. And he had a big old medallion on. And long story short, and he worked H&I. And my dad told me, get involved in H&I. And long story short, that man is my husband. So, he 13-stepped me. Yeah. Not just kidding. My sponsor, when I told her I was having these feelings, and she said, you know, everybody deserves love. And as long as you put sobriety first, your steps first, and so we kept it. We were friends. We were platonic friends. We hung out in a group. And I worked those steps, and I work those steps today. And, you know, these principles, I use them, and I try to use these principles in all areas of my life. I have some medical challenges. I was diagnosed 5 years ago with multiple sclerosis. And you know what? Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. I've also had about 3 friends die this week of cancer. You know, I am fortunate. I know what I am. I'm an alcoholic, an addict. I am a MS warrior. I'm a survivor. I do this. I do this MS. I get my infusions. I go to the doctor, and I use these principles behind each of these steps in all areas of my life, with my health, with our marriage. You know, we use this. I use all the principles, the honesty, you know, the hope, faith, etc. And I'm extremely grateful to be here. I am rambling, and I have a little parched, so I'm going to go sit down and drink a lot of water. Thank you.